And Smashville, good morning. Thank you for joining us. It is Morning Drive, Hour 4, off and running on this Thursday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Cale, Braden Gall, Chase McCabe, Derek Mason will be back tomorrow. A lot of good stuff throughout the first couple hours of the show and a big hour coming up. We'll get to On Tap tonight. Also touch on the NBA draft a little bit later on. But right now, as we started off the show this morning, it was a big night for the Nashville Predators. Certainly, it didn't result in a Stanley Cup championship this year. But individually, the awards were going out last night. Pekka Rinne wins the Vezina. PK Subban, as I think we most of us expected and anticipated, came in third place for the Norris Trophy, but he does get to grace the cover of NHL 19 for EA Sports' video game, so he'll be the cover athlete for that. And let's actually take a listen. Here is Pekka Rinne, and I think, look, we all realized he was a virtual lock to win it. He was very emotional last night. Let's take a listen to number 35 talking about winning the Vezina.
Thank you very much. What an honor. Being a long time coming, so... first of all, congrats, Andre and Connor. You guys are going to be here many more times. And firstly, my teammates. Obviously, no goalie can be successful without his teammates. And I feel like I have one of the more talented groups in playing in front of me every single night. So love you, boys. David Poile, your family, our ownership group. It's means a lot to me. And the fans in Nashville, you guys are the best. My family, they're watching this through on back home in Finland. So my parents, you mean everything to me, everything you do for me, thank you. My sisters, Erica, who's here, love you all. Thank you very much.
Now, Pekka got 22 of the possible 31 first-place votes, and the final tally for points, Pekka with 129, Connor Hallebuck came in second with 82, and then after that, Vasilevskiy had 21, Anderson 12, Marc-Andre Fleury 11. It was Pekka in really dominant fashion.
Yeah, and deserving, and I think people, I already had people on Twitter last night immediately, I congratulated Pekka, which I'm sure he totally read, I just saying, hey, congratulations, Predators get a first major trophy in franchise history. I think that's a really a fun and exciting and honorable accomplishment, and fans immediately were just, they're going to remember what happened in the playoffs, and while, of course, that is true for both him, I think you can even hear it in his voice there, and for fans, that does not take away from or remove anything from his performance in the regular season, which was totally deserving of winning the Vezina Trophy as the best goaltender in the NHL this year. It is another one of these checklist things that happened last year that was a first for the Nashville Predators, a major player award when we're talking about one of the three or four biggest player awards in the NHL. So I think winning the President's Trophy, you know, hanging a banner for a division championship, you know, being a one seed, winning the Vezina Trophy, you know, all these things sort of are part of this last year's celebration. Obviously, it will always be tainted with what took place in the postseason, but it doesn't mean you can't enjoy and appreciate and respect what took place in the regular season. They both can exist. And, you know, Pekka has at least one more season left with the Nashville Predators at minimum, and they have a chance to win a cup next year. They're in as good a situation to win a cup next year. And if they win a cup next year, then none of what's happened in the postseason the last 2 years really matters. And we will then, as fans, look at the last 2 years as sort of this graduation process for the Nashville Predators, where they went from a team that couldn't get out of the second round and was still sort of viewed nationally as this little expansion thing in a southern market into a genuine hockey powerhouse. And that's sort of what they're graduating towards, I think, over the last 2 years. Now, it has to culminate in a championship for all that to be true. Otherwise, you just step back and you enjoy what was a really fantastic regular season and try to block out certain, maybe four games of that second round series against the Jets, where it wasn't necessarily the prettiest of things that happened.
All right, a lot of things with PK Subban. First of all, he finishes third for the Norris Trophy, but he ends up garnering second all-star team status along with Connor Hallebuck, Seth Jones, Claude Giroux, Blake Wheeler, Nathan MacKinnon. Those are part of the NHL awards as well. But the one thing he did win last night is he has now been voted as the cover athlete for EA Sports NHL 19, and he was asked to talk about how it feels being on the cover of that video game.
It's pretty exciting. Probably the most exciting thing about being on the cover now, and I didn't get a chance to mention it on the stage, but is that I'm wearing Preds colors, and I think I'm the first player to play in Nashville to ever be on the cover of it, and it's fitting. You know, Preds fans deserve it and recognition, and we're going to follow up on that next year and take another step forward with our team.
Now, two funny things off of that. I have not played the hockey video game on EA Sports since NHL 94 way back in the day on the Sega Genesis. But now I'm a sucker for, and I fall for marketing and gimmicks and stuff. PK Subban on the cover, that's going to get me to actually buy it. I am going to play. Chase McCabe, Braden, if you guys want to play, Xbox, it is on.
So
I am in.
Play. So do I want to come to Murfreesboro and play video games at your apartment?
Is what, or I could just bring the game to your house because I think you have a bigger TV right now.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. We are going to have a morning drive.
NHL 19 tournament?
NHL 19 tournament.
We got to go bigger than that. You got to think big picture.
NHL 94 tournament, so I'll win.
We got to go big picture.
Well, on a Sega Genesis.
If you will allow me, you can actually play NHL 19 with the NHL 94 configuration.
What? What ticket?
Can you use
what
it? Can you use NHL 94
in.
Rosters?
What a ticket.
I don't know about that.
Do I get the Hartford Whalers?
I used to use the Kings.
One of the games had a retro mode where you actually could play like the Whalers.
You can put in the newest NHL video game into any console, and it will, the buttons and all the gameplay will match the old 94.
They had a full-on retro mode, but then they have also had, like, you can just change the controls where you can play the game as it is now, but you're using the same controls that you would use for NHL 94.
We need to have a station,
which is awesome, because
stationwide tournament for NHL 19.
Yes.
You get Darren in here, we get Willie in, we get Porth, and we have an NHL 19 bracket and literally play down to determine a station champion.
I like this.
It's got huge potential. The only two that won't be invited are Buck and Julian.
They probably wouldn't care.
And that's why they're not invited.
They probably would be like, great.
Exactly.
Do I have to care about this too?
Buck would just be like, why are you playing hockey on a video? It's just so fake. It's just, what are you, 12? I'm appalled.
Or he would just be like, hey, just make me the champion.
Yeah, pretty much. The other thing we have to get to as well, and we'll do this on the other side, the PK Subban story kind of doesn't want to really go away. And Braden, I think you alluded to it in the first hour with the smoke and fire reference. He was on the Ice podcast on ESPN. We'll get that audio when it is released in the coming hours or days. But we do have quotes from Greg Wyshynski's column that we'll get to when we come back. But Chase McCabe, we have to get an update because we did our stupid poll question of the day to start the show, and we've also got a secondary poll up. So let's kind of get an update on both of them because I believe the actual stupid poll question is actually really, really close. This is a good one today.
It is. We go to at 1025_MD. Go give that a follow and vote. And so this was the first poll question. What's the worst summer storyline of 2018? If you have other than what is listed, you can reply. Your choices are Brady versus Belichick, the Subban trade rumors, the LeBron watch, or U.S. not in the World Cup. And you are correct, Nick Kale. It is very close. Tied at 28%, the Subban trade rumors and LeBron watch. A close second, 25%, U.S. not in the World Cup, and then 19% Brady versus Belichick.
What did you guys vote for?
I voted for the Subban trade rumors because I'm sick of talking about it.
I did too. No, I'm sorry. No, I voted Brady versus Belichick.
I voted LeBron watch.
All right, so we're all different.
Just tell me where he's at and then let's go from there.
Nick Kale.
The PK Subban trade rumors are what are interesting about them, and we're going to get to them when we come back, is just David Poyle has a history of doing this. He has a huge contract. He would get a huge return, and he doesn't seem to squash the rumors. And there's lots of smoke out there with all these reporters. So there might be more to it than we think. Maybe not. Who knows?
Nick Kale posted on his Twitter, and we retweeted from 1025_MD, what was the better decade of entertainment, music/movies/TV, the 80s or the 90s? 63% of you say the 90s. Braden?
You're in the lead, Braden.
Your thoughts?
I have nothing to say to this.
63% of people are wrong.
Have you ever... Oh, my God.
We got to get Darren and Willie's take.
You don't get to pick and choose old people to vote on something that they are going to be more inclined to vote for because they are children of the 70s and grew up in the 80s. Actually, I think one of them might be a child of the 60s, actually. Oh. I think they might have been born in 69 and 70. I don't think I'm, hopefully I'm not giving away their ages there.
Let's quickly squeeze in a phone call on PK Subban. 615-737-1025. Say good morning to Tristan in Hendersonville, next up on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. What's up, Tristan?
Hey, good morning, guys. Real quick, with the PK Subban stuff, I think it's just a fantastic opportunity for both the Predators and for the casual fan. I think somebody seeing a black player on the cover is going to bring in a potential casual fan. Some may believe that, some may not. But I think PK is just a brand in himself, and I think it was a great decision by EA. And I don't think there's an NHL game cover curse like the Madden curse, and I totally believe in that.
Yeah.
Number two, I think you guys are missing something. You guys are at HQ Beer Cave pretty often. They have NHL 94, the arcade game there, and I suggest you guys do a tournament there.
Now we're talking.
That is
sponsorship dollars.
Tremendous work.
Not only do they have that, but they have another game that I think would intrigue us, and that is
Pac-Man?
NFL Blitz.
Love.
Yep.
NFL Blitz is good, but it's not NBA Jam good.
Yeah, if I had to go, they have that too.
If
it was NBA Jam or NFL Blitz, I would absolutely go NBA Jam 100 times out of 100.
They have NBA Jam there at headquarters Beer Cave too.
But Tristan, do they have an air hockey table? I mean, not air hockey, bubble hockey. Sorry.
They have a bubble hockey table there too.
That's all I need.
Chase knows.
Oh yes.
Chase saw me with a bubble hockey game one night.
All right. I think Tristan just came up with a great opportunity,
Tristan,
for the sales department. We got to get a NHL 94 arcade style contest going. Sounds like something we should do. We'll pass it along when we come back. PK Subban, it just doesn't want to go away. We're back after this on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey guys, stop by a Middle Tennessee Great Clips location today, and with a purchase of any service at Great Clips, you can get a 50% off ticket voucher to the July 7th Nashville SC game at Nissan Stadium. That's while supplies last at a Middle Tennessee Great Clips location. All right, so PK Subban, this story just doesn't want to go away. And I'm not really sure. I mean, I think if you kind of break it down and go real deep on it, you can see why it doesn't. I just don't think there is going to be a situation where he gets traded, but it doesn't want to go away, whether it's Greg Wyshynski with ESPN, David Poyle kind of squashing it with The Athletic, PK talking about his past experiences, so forth and so on. And Greg Wyshynski is a regular guest of ours on Morning Drive, and he's got a piece on ESPN.com right now. Trade rumors aside, PK Subban wants to remain with the Predators. We'll give you all the quotes because there's a handful of them in just a moment, but this is, Braden, just one of these stories that I just think is, I don't want to say it's 100% prefabricated. I just think it's a reach.
It might be a reach, and I'm hopeful that it is, because I would like to see PK Subban maintain. I'd like to see the core four kept together. I think I'd like to see them re-sign Ellis if they can make the money work. I'd like to see these four guys play out their careers in an effort to win a championship. I think that's what most Predators fans want to see. However, there have been these little fires that have popped, or these little, you know, puffs of like rumor smoke that have popped up everywhere. And it started with PK Subban on Tiki Barber's podcast, where he sort of like in this weird way was just like, well, I hope I'm back. And we're all like, wait a second, why would you not be back? And he kind of, it was just this, again, it was just a weird tone of voice and language that PK Subban used on that podcast. Well, then the next step is we find out that Erik Karlsson and David Poyle was interested in Erik Karlsson at the trade deadline, and that the only real way to get him would be to move one of two or three pieces on the team, which would probably be Ryan Johansson, Roman Josi, PK Subban, and we know they're not getting rid of Johansson or Josi, so PK Subban is a logical trade fit there. Then we find out that David Poyle has to squash all these rumors that are coming out of Canada and TSN and all these other places. Hey, they're interested in swapping him. David Poyle has to come out and give the whole, like, you know, the athletic director comes out and goes, we are behind our college football coach 100%. We believe in he's our football coach. Like, the vote of confidence always means you're about to fire the guy. So David Poyle comes out and he goes, we have never taken a call on PK Subban. Has to squash the rumors because they're asking so many questions. Now PK comes out and sort of acknowledges, hey, we've got a GM in David Poyle that makes a bunch of moves. And if they make a bunch of moves, there's a lot of things that can change. And maybe I'm back, maybe I'm not. He's essentially like P.K. Subban is sort of doing like the radio show on his own, it feels like. He's sort of speculating out loud to media entities on two separate podcasts that he's not really sure if he's coming back or not. And I hope that that's not true. I assume that he's coming back. I don't think David Poile will trade him. But there hasn't been – there. All of this stuff keeps coming up for a reason. And it is dangerous for us to speculate, but it feels like there is some conversation happening behind some closed door somewhere behind with somebody, whether that's P.K. Subban and David Poile, whether that's David Poile and other GMs, whether that's media members. I don't have any idea. So it's dangerous to speculate. But there has been smoke on this for too long and from too many different places for there not to be at least something being considered. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but you don't get this much stuff over 2 months of time or a month and a half of time and have there be absolutely nothing going on, I feel like. Am I crazy? I think a lot
of this started about a month ago when I believe the guy's name was David Pagnotta in Canada had some type of report, and then a lot of people kind of shot it down, you know, debating his credibility, and we talked about that. And then from there, it kind of got it grew legs and it took off. But like to your point with, you know, he keeps talking about it. Well, I don't think he's talking about it like unsolicited. Like he's asked the question.
Of course.
So, you know, he's answering it. But I also think from a standpoint of when you in the previous your previous existence, you were told, oh, you're never going to get traded, and you got traded. So anything is possible. So I just look at it from that standpoint. I mean, I think he realizes, you know, he's going to be 30. He's almost making $10 million a year. He's got a big cap hit. Yeah,
That's the thing is if you step back from, like, forget everything we just talked about.
Yep.
And throw all that out the window. Forget that he said anything. Forget that David Poile said anything. Forget the rumors in TSN. Forget the fact that they were interested in Erik Karlsson at the trade deadline. Forget all of that. And just clean your mind of all of that and look at the roster and say, all right, Preds need to make a big move. They need to go get somebody, whatever that may be. What is the piece that gets you the most in return that also opens up the most cap flexibility? Let's just use common sense. What is the defensemen, if you had to trade one, because that's where they're going to get the most in return. You're not going to get the most in return for Kevin Fiala or Craig Smith or Victor Arvidsson. They're all great players, but it's not. What do teams want? They want defensemen. They want high-level, top-flight defensemen, and the Predators have four of them. And of those four, which one gets you the most in return and opens up the most cap space? Because those are the two most important commodities, right? It's clearly P.K. Subban. It's not even close. It's P.K. Subban. Yossi would give you the most in return, but he doesn't open up enough cap space because of his deal being so friendly. Same thing with Matthias Ekholm. Ellis doesn't give you much in return because he's on a one-year deal. He doesn't open up much cap space at all, and people aren't going to give you much in return for a one-year rental unless they think they can re-sign him. So it's very clearly P.K. Subban. That is just stepping away from all of this information and just objectively looking at those four players. Who gets you the most in a trade and gives you the most flexibility? It's clearly P.K. Subban. And you'd have to get an equal level player, if not better, for me to be interested in doing that. If I'm David Poile, I'd have to be talking about players like John Tavares and Erik Karlsson to even be in the conversation in the first place. And so maybe that's what he's doing, is testing the waters on elite level, high priced guys. And if he thinks he can get Erik Karlsson or get, you know, John Tavares, should he consider it? Maybe he should. But I don't think, you know, you're not going to call up Ottawa and be like, listen, I'll give you Ryan Ellis for Erik Karlsson. They're going to laugh you off the phone. And I love Ryan Ellis. But the guy who gets you what you want here, which is cap space and a big bundle in return, Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson, Shea Weber for P.K. Subban, got to give up something to get something. P.K. Subban is the biggest trade chip that they have that is the best move for the Predators. I do not think they should do that. I want to be very clear. I don't want them to trade P.K. Subban, and I would like to see this core four group stay together for a long time and try to win a cup the way they are today.
The first sentence of Greg Wyshynski's piece on ESPN.com. In two seasons, P.K. Subban has become the face of the Nashville Predators. I think it's more viable, it's a more realistic situation that he would be traded if he did not have a good like, to me, he was the best defenseman this postseason, this short-lived postseason for the Nashville Predators. And if you have become the face of the franchise, and look, we get it. Sometimes faces of a franchise do get traded. But if you're talking about this team coming back and trying to unfinished business next year, I think P.K. Subban has to be a part of the equation. I just do.
I tend to agree with that, unless Erik Karlsson or a player of that ilk is in the conversation. I totally agree. I think Erik Karlsson, I think Predators fans are way over their skis by thinking that PK Subban is a better player than Erik Karlsson. But there are, of the people on the planet that are better players than PK Subban, there is a very small number. There are maybe two or three or five guys I would trade PK Subban for. So unless you're talking to me about Austin Matthews or, you know, these guys on that elite level superstar platform, there is no, I would not take the call. If you're calling me about Wayne Simmonds for PK Subban, I'm not taking the call. So I think it has to be about an elite level player. But again, then the money for the salary cap, I mean, John Tavares could be worth 10, 11 million. Erik Karlsson could be worth 10, 11 million. You may not be saving all that. So I'm with you. Just let's keep PK together for at least the extent of his contract. He's got, what, three more years left on his deal? Four more years left on his deal?
22.
About $9 million a year. He's as good as that money is worth. I mean, he's worth the contract. So he's not one of those guys where you're like, God, how do we get out from underneath this deal? You could argue the Shea Weber deal is going to really hurt Montreal in the last 5 or 6 years of that deal. And that is partly why David Poile made the trade. So I think we're in PK's prime right now. We're going to get PK's best hockey probably for one or two more years, if not a third year. I would take this group and ride with it, but that may not be what a good GM does. They kick the tires on stuff.
All right, coming up next, earlier in the show this morning, Chase McCabe threw out a name in the NHL that he would be intrigued by in Nashville. It caught my attention. We'll get back to that on the other side. It's Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in the Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Cale, Braden Gall, Chase McCabe with you. Derek Mason will be back with us tomorrow on Tap Tonight, coming up in just about 15 minutes. You know, we sometimes get together for our show. Well, not sometimes, always. You know, we always plan out our show. We exchange text messages, emails. We've got this, like, spreadsheet, this Google document that I can't figure out how to navigate, but that's another story for another day.
Which is fascinating to me,
which is fascinating as a 34-year-old in 2018 who can't figure it out.
Like, you know what, how to, like, copy and paste, right? Like, in a Word
document? For the most part.
No, I don't think he does.
I don't think, like... Control V.
He's like, every time he's like, hey, C. I got the grid for next week ready to go, I go in there and I'm like, what? Did your 3-year-old do this? Like,
you know what a delete button is on your keyboard? Like, it's right up there on the top right.
Deleted.
There. Deleted. You know?
Delete. All right. But so Chase kind of caught me off guard with this, and I think it's a very interesting conversation. He came out of the woodwork this morning and says, you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing the Nashville Predators bring in Wayne Simmonds from Philadelphia. Now, I've got this up on NBCSportsPhilly.com. According to a report Tuesday by Michael Russo of The Athletic, the Flyers are gearing up for potential trade offers for Wayne Simmonds. So, I don't know if, Chase, you just had this thought or you saw the report, but
I have heard the rumors, and this is a guy that I have looked at for the last couple years as one of those, you know... If he ended up in gold, I would not be upset about it. And
I agree.
Now that the rumors are kind of out there, we were discussing this yesterday in the office, and you know, I brought it up with you guys this morning. Look, I think he fits this team. He fits the build of this team and what they're trying to do. And
he played for Lavi.
He played for Laviolette. He replaces a guy in Scott Hartnell that went and stood in front of the net, wasn't afraid to get in those dirty areas, but he also has speed. And that's something Scott Hartnell did not have. You put him on that second line with Kyle Turris and Kevin Fiala, I think that in nothing against Craig Smith. This is not about Craig Smith. This is just about making the team better. I think it does. And so I think that
so
that
what
is
would be
a move.
Your trade package? What would be your offer to Philadelphia if you were David Poile and you called Ron Hextall this morning and said, I'm interested in Wayne Simmonds. Here's what I got.
If I'm looking at it from a financial standpoint and what's going to come in return, I know he has 1 year left at $5 million, I believe. I'm offering a draft pick next year, probably a second, and then it would probably be somebody like a Craig Smith because the money evens out.
I would, if you told me I could give up a second-round draft pick and Craig Smith to get Wayne Simmonds, I would do that in absolutely a heartbeat if I'm David Poile, which makes me think that the Philadelphia Flyers would laugh at that trade offer. That's how I'm looking at that.
And I'm not a big Wayne Simmonds fan. I think
he's due $5 million this year, will be an unrestricted free agent after this season. Craig Smith on the hook for $4.25 million for the next 2 years.
I think it would take more than Craig Smith in a second. Like, I would think you would have to either give up another draft pick or somebody better than Craig Smith. One of the two. Am I wrong for thinking that?
No, I'm with you. I think it's wishful thinking by Predators fans to think they can give up Craig Smith and a draft pick to get Wayne Simmons. Now, unless there's stuff we don't know about Wayne Simmons in the locker room or doesn't fit the system at all, Lavi just loves him because he knows about him. I do agree with Chase on one thing, though, and that is that Wayne Simmons brings something to that second line that they very clearly need and was exposed in the playoffs, and that is a physical presence. And Kyle Turris and Kevin Fiala are always going to be little people. They're very small people. They're not big hockey players.
That's not going to change. They're going to grow.
That's never going to change. Fiala put on some weight this year to get more muscular as a 21-year-old. You're going to have to get bigger and stronger. Kyle Turris is just a small guy. He's not a big guy. And they are scorers. They're not physical grinders. You need a guy like to package with those two. Wayne Simmons feels like a perfect fit to be put with those two guys, to finesse goal scorers, with a guy that's going to get in the dirty areas, stand in front of the net, knock some heads around when needed. Craig Smith, that isn't really his game. He has the ability. We saw some flashes of it, but that's not really his game. He's a sniper who plays with speed. You need a physical presence on that line because they got exposed in the playoffs against the Jets.
I will say this, because looking at the stats of both players, if you kind of look at the last two-ish years, now Craig Smith had a down year last season, or the season before that, and then last season he rebounded for 51 points, a career year. Those numbers are very similar to what Wayne Simmons has done over the past couple of years. Now, he's a former 60-point scorer. He's capable of it. I think if you put him with players like Kyle Turris and Kevin Fiala, that point total probably goes back up. But if you're just looking at it by sure numbers, they're very similar.
All right, so let's say you're Ron Hextall, and you say, no. Craig Smith and a second-round pick is not enough. I want something else. Where is your breaking point on the return for Wayne Simmons that you have to give up?
I'm not giving top four. I'm not giving Tolvanen. I'm probably not giving Dante Fabbro just for Wayne Simmons. You'd have to probably sweeten the pot a little bit.
Oh, that's kind of tempting. How about that? Let me ask you this. What about Fabbro and Craig Smith for Simmons and a first?
All day long.
Okay. I might be on board with that too.
A first this year?
Just you get one of your first round draft picks back because they don't have one in either of the next two drafts.
Yeah, I would do that.
Fabro's a really nice prospect, and if David Poile is even contemplating trading one of the core four or not re-signing Ellis, which is all possible, then you better be sure that you're either getting a star defenseman in return, or you're very comfortable with Fabbro as maybe the heir apparent to that fourth spot. So if that's the case, so this is all about what David Poile values.
That's the thing. You have to look at Dante Fabbro as if you lose Ellis or, you know, if you lose one of the core four, you got to have a plan of who's going to go in that spot. And, you know, I think he's a year or two off, but, it's something you definitely have to look at.
Now, do you factor in the fact that they don't have a first or a second this year, and based off of your trade proposal, you'd be giving up a second next year. So your first four picks in two drafts, you have now traded away three of those four. Now, granted, this is a team that's got some youth, some guys that are in their prime. It's not a completely aging roster, but you still need to have that draft capital. You got to have assets. You got to replenish.
The only pick you don't have next year is the third. You do have the first. You do have the second. So you have that to play with. I hear what you're saying because you go into this draft, you don't have a first or a second, but I think we all kind of knew this was the draft you could do that. I mean, I don't think there's a lot that they're really missing out on, and David Poile kind of indicated that of, you know, he was going for it and he was more focused on the now than he was the future. The future is still very bright for this team just because of the length of contracts that they have with the core players. So I think that he can use those draft picks to get more assets to help keep this window open longer and to win a Stanley Cup. So I think he's willing to do that. I'm willing to look at it if it's the right fit.
I mean, if the window's open, and we all agree that it is, then future stuff that becomes a commodity in 4 years isn't even close to being as important as what helps you win today. You may have 1 year left.
I'm not saying this is like an all-in type move. This isn't something that's going to set you back.
I think going to get Turris was a pretty all-in move.
No, yeah. I mean, like getting Wayne Simmons and giving up what you're giving up, I don't feel like you're mortgaging anything big time long term.
Well, it depends. If you think Dante Fabro is potentially a
well, no, just based off of his proposal of the second round draft pick and
Craig Smith.
Craig Smith.
Again,
look, I'd offer Ryan Hartman too. I mean, I would look at other players, and I know you gave up a first, but if you're getting Wayne Simmons back,
they seem to be. Here's the thing about Hartman is the fascinating piece.
He's 23 years old.
He's a first round pick who has scoring ability. I think they feel, and again, just if you look at the way they've talked about Ryan Hartman as an organization, this guy's going to be on the power play next year. I mean, Ryan Hartman seems like a guy that is a part of the long term process. The whatever, however long the window is open.
And I'm totally fine with that, by the way.
It feels like Ryan Hartman is a part of that, and I'm on board with that too. I think Ryan Hartman got a very raw deal from the fans at the end of last season. He was injured. I think you don't trade for a 22-year-old first-round draft pick who's played one full season in the league and then just give up on him because of a torn labrum or whatever it was. I think Ryan Hartman is a value piece to this team. Is he on the same level as a Nick Bonino? I think he's got more upside than a Nick Bonino, and Nick Bonino costs you $4 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
So he overpaid for Bonino. He might have overpaid for Hartman, but I think there's not many more weaknesses in this team. Like, there's just not many more. They just need to play better hockey in the postseason.
The good news is there's enough meat on this bone that he can pick some pieces off and trade them away and get something else back. There's a lot to work with, and I don't think you've always been able to say that. I mean, especially the last 2 years, I mean, this plate is full. And so I think that's something Predators fans should look at going into the draft this weekend and then free agency coming up next weekend. There's still some room that he can tweak and, as Braden says, nibble around the edges.
All right, right now it's your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Monster Jam at Nissan Stadium this Saturday, June 23rd. Be caller number 5 right now at 615-737-1025, and you're going to get a pair of tickets to see Monster Jam at Nissan Stadium this Saturday, June 23rd. Caller 5, 615-737-1025. Monster Jam roars into Nissan Stadium this Saturday. Don't miss the biggest names in the sports: Gravedigger, Max D, Son of a Digger, and more. Get your tickets now at monsterjam.com. or Ticketmaster.com. When we come back, on tap tonight, final poll results and also a thought or two on the NBA draft. That's tonight as well. It's coming up next on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in the Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey guys, Vanderbilt alum Jordan Matthews, he's hosting the second Vandy Legends charity softball game. It's Saturday, July 7th at Hawkins Field. Jordan Matthews, Shane Foster, Jay Cutler, and many more will be there. Gates open at 4. Home Run Derby following at 5. First pitch at 6. Check it out. Vanderbilt alum Jordan Matthews. Lots to get to here in the final couple minutes of the show. We'll get to On Tap tonight. We'll get to our final poll results. But tonight is the NBA draft. And I think I mentioned this a couple of days ago, and I know, Braden, you're into college hoops, and Derek is big into basketball as well. I just look at this draft, and I think there's 5 or 6 pretty good players. I don't think there's a top, I don't think there's anybody in this draft that 5 years from now we're going to say he's definitively a top 5 player in the league.
That's hard because, I mean, how many drafts then have that guy? One every 5 years?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because you're very conservative on the number of players you call elite in the NBA.
Yeah,
right?
I don't want to water down the term.
Right. So how many players are elite in the NBA?
LeBron, Durant, Harden, Westbrook, Anthony Davis.
See, I think you've already watered it down.
I mean, those are probably
putting
my 5.
Russell Westbrook and Harden in that group probably waters it down for me. I think you got to go LeBron, and that's it.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to go by tiers, it's LeBron.
So to me, there's elite
Durant,
there's elite, superstar, and star.
Okay,
and elite's LeBron, superstar is all those guys you've talked about, and I think there could be some guys in this draft that could eventually end up as the Anthony Davis or something like that along those lines. I think Marvin Bagley III and I think DeAndre Ayton have that sort of upside. Do I think Trae Young is going to have that sort of upside? I just saw him on TV standing next to Jalen Rose. He looks puny compared to Jalen Rose.
Does.
I don't know what that means. Jalen Rose might have gained some weight or something. I don't know. But I think those two guys are intriguing. I think Trae Young will be a story because people watched him in college and he was a story in college. So I think he will be a story. I don't know if he's a great player. I think that Bagley and Ayton, are guys that could be franchise foundational pieces. You could build a franchise around those guys, like a Karl-Anthony Towns, like an Anthony Davis. I think those guys are good enough. I mean, look at how good Jason Tatum is. I mean, Jason Tatum's a guy that I was talking all about in that draft, and he may not be a superstar like Harden or Westbrook or Durant, but you got to have a lot of Jason Tatums to win big in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
And Boston has a bunch of guys that qualify like that. Could Marvin Bagley and Ayton be that level? Absolutely. I think they could be as good as Jason Tatum and maybe even a little bit better.
Yeah, this is when I look at like Trae Young, and I know people want to make the comparisons to Steph Curry because of his range. He's not even close to Steph Curry, and I don't think he will be. But a guy like Steph Curry has given me the belief that a guy like Trae Young will find a spot in this league and be a solid to very good player simply because once he crosses half court, anything's in play. Like, that guy's got, quote, in the gym range, and I feel like that's a skill set that's hard to come by.
I will say this. Jaren Jackson out of Michigan State is really, really good. He's really good, too. Big body, 6'11". You know, Mo Bamba, not really sure I saw that. He was a good player. Michael Porter, the junior, we didn't see enough out of him to know what he is, really, but an elite-level prospect coming out of high school certainly didn't give us much at Missouri. Mikal Bridges is a really good player. Miles Bridges, no relation. One went to Michigan State. Miles, one went to Villanova. Mikal, both those guys, really, really good players. Mikal is a very versatile player for Villanova. Again, I don't see franchise, to your point, I don't see franchise changers. The problem is we just don't know, like, the international guys. Like, we're just guessing. Like, as fans, we're just guessing about the international guys.
Like, so are you into Doncic or no?
You think no idea.
No idea.
I have no idea. No idea.
Because here's
what the expert, what does the Mel Kiper of the NBA draft say about him?
Like, I'm just
no
tired
idea.
Of the one thing, and I'm not a big fan of the European player, but there has been
the Knicks,
some that have panned out well.
So I just remember how I reacted when the Knicks took Porzingis, and I was like, oh, come on. What the heck is that?
But the whole adage is,
well,
they're soft. But the NBA nowadays, the NBA is not this physical league anymore. The NBA is a very finesse league. It's not like it was in the 80s and 90s where, you know, you're going to get abused. I mean, it's a perimeter guard-oriented float around the three-point line.
Can't hand check.
Right.
And that the European,
which I think plays into the favor of the Euro.
The European players are a more complete player. There's no question about it, especially for the size. But like I said, we just don't know. Like, I have no idea. As a fan of basketball, I've watched, you know, Shea Alexander at Kentucky. I think he's a really good player. I've watched Kevin Knox. I've watched these guys. I have my own personal thoughts on who I think is better or worse. I like Bagley and Ayton. I like those two guys ahead of everybody else. I think Jaren Jackson's really interesting. But outside of that, I don't see franchise changers. Trae Young is an interesting story. I have no idea if some guy from Europe is better than those guys.
What about Colin Sexton? You like Colin Sexton?
He's a high-volume shooter. I think he's got elite ability. I think he does fit into the modern NBA and will be a very good player, but is he anything more than, you know, big-time recruit, five-star guy? I mean, he's one of those guys that was an elite-level talent. Guy can absolutely score. He can fill it up. So do I think he could be in the same ballpark as Trae Young? Probably. But do I think he's Kyrie Irving? I don't know. I don't think I put him in the same category of quality of player as Kyrie Irving.
All right, Chase McCabe, let's get to On Tap tonight.
It's your guide for the happenings around town and what to watch from your couch. Here's What's On Tap Tonight, now on Morning Drive.
All right, it's On Tap Tonight. We do it every day around 9:45 to wrap up the show. For me tonight, it will be the NBA draft. But it will be for about 10 picks max. Once the Sixers are off the board at 10, it'll be wake up the next morning, check to see who went where, what trades happened, check the bottom line if I wake up in the middle of the night and TV's on still. But other than that, it's the first 10 picks. Like, I am not, this is nowhere close to the NFL draft, but I do give ESPN credit. They have once again put the kibosh on their reporters tweeting out the spoilers before you see it on television. Now, that doesn't mean somebody from CBS or Yahoo's not going to leak stuff.
Those Yahoos.
But no Adrian Wojnarowski. No Woj bombs tonight. He's been squashed. Can't put it out.
How many trades do you think take place in the first 10 picks?
11.
Probably right.
What is the over-under? Let's set it at 2.5. I go under.
Over.
Over. All right. That's my On Tap tonight.
Let's see here. College World Series. You guys know me. I'm always on the College World Series bandwagon, of course, coming up today on Thursday. We have, as I'm waiting for my thing to load. 7 p.m. Central Time, Florida and Texas Tech. Loser goes home. Number one in the nation, Florida. By the way, Jackson Kowar was unbelievable, I believe, yesterday for Florida. Fantastic, 13 strikeouts. So that's the only College World Series game coming up tonight. And I do not have World Cup pulled up, but I've been watching. So World Cup all day today for me. We watched the second episode of Evil Genius last night.
You still feeling it? You like it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're all in. And it's terrible. It's terrifying.
All right.
You've watched the whole thing, right?
All four episodes.
Oh, my God.
Tremendous. Derek Mason was 100% spot on.
Everybody is saying Staircase is better. And we're going to watch that one, too.
All right. Couple of baseball games of note today. If you want to take in some Major League Baseball, Cubs and the Reds, Matt Harvey in Cincinnati up against Kyle Hendricks.
Who's Matt Harvey again?
That's your boy, right? Former New York Met?
No.
Yankees and Mariners is a good one. You'll have Luis Severino's got 10 wins already.
That dude has had a great season for the Yankees so far.
Up against James Paxton, who's had a good year. He's 6-1.
Where the heck did that guy come from?
He's always been one of those guys that, when
he's healthy, he's really good.
The health is a big issue for him. All right, Chase McCabe, let's get a final update on our dual poll questions of the day.
Before we do that, we have not spent any time on this.
I was going to.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
I'll let you do it then.
Go ahead and give us the poll question.
Surprised you didn't have that in Stick to Sports, by the way.
Well, because I thought we were going to do it. So hang on. Let me get the poll results because I don't have that yet because I wasn't really ready for it.
I know, it's only the third day we do the show.
Yeah, I know. So what's the worst summer storyline of 2018? Your choice is Brady versus Belichick, Subban trade rumors, LeBron watch, or U.S. not in the World Cup. 29% say LeBron watch, 28% with the Subban rumors, 24% U.S. not a World Cup, and 19% Brady versus Belichick.
So as
pretty
good stuff there. So as a young person who moved to Nashville, Tennessee as a freshman in high school in 1997, I did not know anything about John Ward. I moved here, I went to the University of Tennessee, and I learned about John Ward. Just like you learn when you go up there about Pat Summitt. Just the way you learn about the Lady Vols and you learn about Rocky Top. And you cannot have a discussion about all of those things without also including John Ward. The voice of the Vols passed away yesterday, 30 years of the Vol Network. He was 88 years old. And I would be lying if the majority of people that came from the University of Tennessee and got into broadcasting in some way, shape, or form was not influenced and or pushed along by John Ward. So last thing I'd like to say today on the show is rest in peace, John. And, man, what a career for the Vol Network and for Tennessee fans everywhere. The voice of the Vols will be missed. And like I said, as someone who didn't know about it when I got here to the state, it's one of those things you learn about very, very, very quickly and how important he was. So.
All right. Well said, Braden Gall. You'll be off tomorrow. Derek Mason will be back tomorrow, and we will reconvene at 6 a.m. Many thanks to Sean Salisbury for joining us on the show today. Stay tuned. Darren and Donick are coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And we'll leave you with this RIP, John Ward.
The Volunteers come racing onto the field. What time is it? You know, it's football time in Tennessee.
The kick is in the air, and the kick this time is no, sir, please. No, sir, please. Final score, Tennessee 20, Florida 17. Pandemonium reigns.
This will be Manning. Back to throw. Across the middle. Pass complete. What did he do? All he did was score. Touchdown on play number one.
Give him six. That's all. Touchdown, Tennessee.